Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another What Culture Wrestling podcast. I'm Michael Hanford from What Culture, joined by Andy Murray from What Culture to preview everything on tonight's NXT 2.0. But if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure to subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts for daily wrestling podcasts. We review Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0, AEW, Dynamite, Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events, and of course, a round of the week complete with a bloody good quiz on Wrestle Culture. But Andy Murray, it is NXT 2.0. It is Vengeance Day Fallout, which is typically one of our safety SEO terms when there's not a lot to preview on the show itself. There are a few notes in general and things we can go through tonight, including Fallout from last week's show. But as a special guest on the preview this week, and in lieu of the, well, I would just be up front, daft bollocks and stupid idiot nonsense we talk on this podcast, why don't you share with us some long-form thoughts, your takes, feelings, emotions on NXT 2.0 in general, the project, its success, and its terrifying future?
Yeah, it's certainly calmed down a lot, hasn't it, over recent months. It's I remember the glory days of those first few months where it was just ridiculous debut after ridiculous debut after here's a clown, here's a surfer, here's a cowboy, here's some sexy ladies, here's this, here's that. And it was just non-stop information. It does feel like that has kind of slowed down a little bit now. We're still getting the drip feed of interesting new people coming into it. Every couple of weeks, you get a Wendy Chu or you get a Tiffany Stratton. I can't do the voice. I'm sorry. A total weirdo comes into your life and you're kind of thankful for them for a couple of weeks. But NXT 2.0 has kind of gone the way I thought it would. It's a developmental territory. Mm-hmm. That means that, well, occasionally you're going to get Roderick Strong and Carmelo Hayes getting together and having a great match. You're not going to get that even like once a month these days, I would say. That might sound harsh or whatever, but I don't think it is because it's not the goal of the product. It fits its billing. It really does, as a place for these people who are on screen to come and learn and figure out how to be WWE style TV wrestlers rather than what we would traditionally call like great wrestlers, the kind of people who are going to go to New Japan once they get released from here, having been built up from the Performance Center and immediately go to have 4.5-star match. It's a different goal. It's reflective of everything we heard. I think I've not been surprised by a single thing about it so far. I will say that it's probably a less interesting watch today than it was back in September when it was really quite bad at times early on. A lot of it was a train wreck, but it was kind of a fun one to watch. They were throwing so much stuff at the wall and hoping it stuck. But, you know, you've got people like Bron Breakker doing main events, and he has a lot of positive qualities. I think that he has that Steiner energy at times, and like he's obviously got a great look and big cheesy moments like him kicking the stupid NXT logo, kicking out the old NXT. It's cornball stuff. But then you watch the matches and it's clear that even people like him, who's at the top of the car, still have a long way to go. Good matches tends to be the peak. There is still some really, really bad stuff on this show. But hey, it's a developmental show. Of course there is. You can make the argument over whether or not you should have that kind of stuff on TV in the first place. That's a separate conversation. But as far as the product that is being presented to us now, I think it's pretty much the product that was promised. Bright lights for me. I think like Carmelo Hayes is great. Him and Trick Williams are awesome every week. They have found a way to just really knock out the park in this small, it's still quite a strict framework down here in NXT. They're great. I like Bron Breakker a lot. The Diamond Mine unit is right up my street. It's just serious, no-nonsense suplex people who are jocks and do press-ups and stuff in the middle. It's good stuff. And I still love coming in talking bollocks about stupid characters like Tiffany.
You said you couldn't do the voice. I tried the voice.
it didn't come out too well. I like Wendy Chu. But then, you know, there is still a lot of, hey, you're a woman. You need to dress like it's the Attitude Era here because that's what's going to get our viewers up. It has been an objective failure in terms of attracting younger viewers. You know, a few weeks ago, we had the median viewer was 63 years old, for God's sake. It has fallen apart as something that appeals to young people. So you can't even look at the things they've done with aesthetics and like the cool catchphrases like, yeah, it's on or whatever. Whatever they say.
Like that.
Yeah, it's popping. All of this stuff. Like, that has been a complete objective failure. But as far as grooming people to go up to the main roster and be ready and providing a similar system to Raw and SmackDown, I think it's been all right. It has completely fallen out of the zeitgeist, NXT 2.0. Like, it barely gets mentioned on my timeline these days, whereas before, every Wednesday night, it was NXT, it was AEW, what's going on, who's going to win, who had the better show, blah, 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 blah. Priorities changed, products changed, personnel have changed, goals have changed, performance center has changed, entire developmental philosophy has changed. But yeah, that you know, peaks at probably like a 6 out of 10. But it's rarely like a 2 out of 10 anymore, which is what it was at the start.
Yeah, I mean, you've like nailed a lot of key problems there. I mean, for one, it won't be the only NXT brand associated with grooming. But when you've got like a show for 63-year-olds that looks like a children's show that features a product that is for teenagers in the late 1990s, I think. It's such a mess of contradictions and, as you say, a developmental with a bunch of wrestlers that have only got one page on Cage Match, but that'd be fine if this wasn't televised live on a Tuesday night every week. Yeah. Like, the context of it is all wrong at this point, but that's what throws up a few nicer prizes, like you say, Tiffany, or Tony D'Angelo's, or your guys that you can just have ludicrous fun with, I guess, in the place of boring Capital Wrestling Center 1 3/4 star matches, of which, to be fair, we might get a few of tonight on a card that is looking almost disconcertingly match heavy. Before we get to what they've announced for the card tonight, because there's always extras that we never know about, but they have stacked it up with like four matches of moderate stakes tonight. Let's touch on Vengeance Day last week and the stuff that maybe hasn't yet been advertised, but could be the winnets, if you will, hanging off the arse of Vengeance Day. Currently, we've got, you mentioned Carmelo Hayes before, one of the genuine standouts. We're all massive fans of Hayes and Williams at What Culture. It appeared as if they were going to Carmelo Hayes and Pete Dunne as a result of Hayes retaining the North American title last week against Cameron Grimes. Dunne is in a position now where he's gone virtually 50-50 with Tony D'Angelo, and the jury's out on exactly how much he's brought D'Angelo along. But that's kind of what Pete Dunne is there to do now, is bring guys along. There are select talents that are left on NXT to do some of the grunt work in helping elevate these these newcomers quicker. Have you got any sort of hopes or aspirations for Carmelo Hayes and Pete Dunne as a title program, or just as a general feud that exists more for the up-and-comer than it does for the established guy?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a good pairing. Definitely. Like, Carmelo has prior with the Roderick Strong match of facing off against these more tenured guys. And even the Cameron Grimes match, like Trevor Lee is a very, very tenured pro wrestler out with WWE and is a skilled guy who has excelled in a number of different environments. So, you know, not to undersell Carmelo at all. I think he's awesome. But he's done well against this type of opponent. Now, admittedly, a guy like Roddy has more of a track record of elevating people than Pete Dunne does. But Roddy's been doing this for 20 years. It's like, of course he does. Of course he does. The Dunne D'Angelo program, your old crowbar on a pole match, I thought was kind of a disaster. Mm-hmm. It was very much an inexperienced wrestler who isn't TV ready but has a funny character being handheld by a veteran, and that really showed in the moments where Tony was on top. I did think they fared better at Vengeance Day. That was, you know, relatively basic hardcore style match, but it was still fun. It was decent. It was a clear step forward, I thought. But yeah, I think Dunn and Hayes can do some good stuff together. Dunn is deceptively experienced for his age, like all these British guys who seemingly started wrestling in Trent Seven's shed at 12 years old. I respect it. But yeah, I think it can be a good pairing for sure. Fits the bill of what this brand is supposed to be. The more experienced guys are there, they might be better wrestlers, but that's the whole point. They're there to lift others up. Certainly wouldn't look at pulling the trigger on passing the belt over to Pete Dunne at this stage. Yeah. I think Hayes is in the ascendancy. I think him and Trick Williams is a money act. Would keep it on him. But yeah, they can have a good match. Pete Dunne, week-to-week TV performer, where he just comes out of a microphone and goes, I don't care about whatever the topic is at hand. It's not the most engaging thing in the world, Pete. I would like you to care sometimes. That would help me care as a viewer, for sure. But yeah, great wrestlers. I'm sure they'll have a good match. It'll be a fun program, and hopefully it's another step just in the learning process for Carmelo Hayes.
Also, a provisional pairing, not something we would maybe expect the match for tonight, but there could indeed be a video package or a follow-through from what we saw last week. Not content with his name change or being the most handsome man on NXT 2.0, Gunther seems to have kicked off some... I don't know, I didn't give you a laugh line there. I'm not sure why you're giggling away, but yeah, he appears to be heading into something with Solo Sikoa, whether or not Sikoa is going to find a couple of partners to possibly do an Imperium six-man en route to the singles match. But it feels like we're heading to the singles match. I mean... this is as much a question about the potential of a Gunther Solo Sikoa match as it is a discussion on the Gunther change, the Walter on NXT 2.0 experiment, because we're still in the infancy of that. And weekly, we sort of sit around myself, Wilborn and Sidgwick, and all come to the very difficult conclusion that somehow, like, Gunther now feels like the third man in his own stable, in line with the awesome recent rise of Fabian Aichner and Marthel Barthel. It's, I don't know, this feels like it's going to be a difficult start for life as the sort of the renewed Gunther character, because you'd expect him to win, but Solo Sikoa is one of these aforementioned young guys that they're probably going to want to protect, or they're going to want to preserve, regardless of how this feud plays out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's just what he is now. I think Walter was one of the standout wrestlers in the world. at his best, he was this indomitable guy with this incredible aura, a really simple but effective style of wrestling, a master of the craft whose high level work was as good as anything you would see anywhere. You could slot him into any company and he'd immediately be a five-star worker. Attraction preserved his aura. He felt menacing even when he didn't have a traditionally menacing look. He was a force of nature. He was a special pro wrestler, but Walter's dead now. This is Gunther, or Gunther, or however we're pronouncing it. He is now Pete Dunne. He's Tommaso Ciampa. He is any other LA Knight who we're going to talk about here. Any other veteran wrestler on this roster. That is what he is now. He is, strip away all the good stuff that I've just said, and look, he's still going to have good matches by virtue of being really good at his job. But yeah, he's an enhancement guy now. That's what he is. He is there to lift people up on their way to the top. He has traded the other stuff to move to the United States, become a full-timer, and he knows this is the deal. He knows what he's in for. He held off against it for several years. And look, I'm not calling him a sellout or anything like that. I think that can be often disrespectful when you look at someone who's made a career choice. It's disappointing to me as a fan, don't get me wrong, but I think he's just there to enhance people now. So yeah, he's going to lose to Solo Sikoa. You're absolutely right. For as long as the other Imperium members are tag team champions, they're going to get more focus and they're going to stand out more, because Walter's job is no longer to stand out, it's to help others stand out. I think it's a shame, but it's the reality of the situation. And look, if Gunther ends up on the main roster, you know fine Vince McMahon's never going to do anything with him. He taught us that at Survivor Series the other year, unfortunately. Yeah. So yeah, it's the grim reality of the situation, but you guys are dead on your money in how you've analysed it.
We wouldn't have seen it coming, I don't think. But I mean, speaking of seeing things coming, because this show reeks of sex and locker rooms, there may be some follow-through this week on the budding relationship between Duke Hudson and Persia Perotta. Now, that actually provides me with my segue. Not that I'm going to give you the hospital pass of asking you to give you this potential new tryst between a heel and a baby face. But what it did do, because as NXT casts all its women to be cock-hungry, obsessed Jersey Bales, it appears to have created a potential divide, yet another one, between Indy Hartwell and Persia Parota, who are part of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, the women's variant, of course, which kicks off tonight in earnest. There will be two matches this evening. Parota and Hartwell are not in action, which is good because Dexter Lumis and Duke Hudson are getting down to some booking. But they will be taking on the interesting pairing of Wendy Chu and Dakota Kai, whilst also we'll be having Cora Jade and Raquel Gonzalez, those two that have somehow managed to find a way to get along. I'm campaigning, by the way, for you know how Raquel Gonzalez has got that bike. I want Cora Jade to come down to the ring, skitching on the back of the bike, just holding onto the skateboard like Marty McFly in Back to the Future. That can be their special entrance. They're going to be taking on Yulisa Leon and Valentina Feroz. Yeah, shrug. And on the other side of the bracket, which is what we're going to get tonight on the show, is Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley versus Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter. We will return to that. But we'll start with the team that have to be the heavy favourites in this. That's right, it's Amari Miller and Lash Legend. No, not really. But they're going to be taking on Io Shirai and Kaylee Ray. Your thoughts on the perspective quality of the match and the Shirai-Leray pairing in general?
It's probably the match. I mean, it's really hard to look at this tournament and go, hey, this is going to be the match of the tournament. when that's not the goal of the product anymore. But yeah, I mean, it's probably got more potential than anything else that's lined up in this first half. You know, Shirai and Kaylee Ray is probably the most talented team they could put together on paper.
Yeah.
They're both exceptional. I mean, Kaylee Ray has suffered from having a weird gimmick. I've got a bet and I smash things. And it's like, part of this product is that it is a terrible waste of people who are not even hitting their prime yet, like Kaylee Ray and like Dakota Kai, who have to play these clowns on television and serve as enhancement people. Really, you know, the veterans on this brand should be people like LA Knight, who are in their late 30s, you know?
Yeah.
But the tournament as a whole, man, I don't know. Difficult to read into what we should expect from this. Now, I'm well aware that I've just sat there and spoke about match quality, but on the other side of this, unfortunately, you have Lash Legend, who, believe it or not, finished something like 10th in the recent Observer poll of the worst match of the year for a match she had on 205 Live last year, which was about 3 minutes long. So what you have here is the ultimate test of the NXT system, because you've got someone who has, to be fair, only wrestled about 4 matches, but is not ready to be on TV and shouldn't be on TV, going against Io Shirai, who's one of the best wrestlers in the world, and Kaylee Ray, who's fantastic herself.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to make much of it. I mean, it'll fill 10 minutes of their obligation to USA Network, won't it? And, like, it's a shame to say that about this tournament, but the thing is, like, all of these pairings, really, apart from Catanzaro and Carter and Nile and Tatum Paxley, are kind of thrown together because you got the Diamond Mine connection there, and you've got Catanzaro and Carter, who are trying to get rid of those pests, and Jensen or Brooks and Benson, or Benson and Hedges, or Hamilton Richmond. I don't know. It's all a mess. I've gone completely off the rails here, Michael. Please save this segment.
Well, no, that's where this podcast typically belongs. It's where it resides, is off the rails. If it gets on them, we've gone wrong somewhere. obviously, quite predictable. Yeah, I'm assuming we're both going with Shirai and Leray to win this comfortably and start plotting the course of the final.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Slightly more unpredictable, I think, the other half of this bracket. Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley versus Caden Carter and Casey Catanzaro. As you've said, Carter and Catanzaro's involvement in NXT lately has been, you know, their potential dating picture with Lambert and Butler. But we know so little about Tatum Paxley. Will this be Diamond Mine's X Factor in this tournament, or is it going to be their undoing? She's been listed on WWE.com's preview copy as a Diamond Mine prospect, which I think is company code for we wanted Ivy Nile in the tournament, so we're just like lobbing somebody with her so we can do something. Do the Diamond Mine cut through this tournament? Because Ivy Nile's got a lot of... Like, raw potential is sometimes a patronising phrase in wrestling, but she absolutely screams it at the moment. You can see, like, she's got a lot of the intangibles, potentially, if they actually let her unlock them. It doesn't matter too much what she can do technically. I think she looks like she's got all this TV star potential, Ivy Nile. How well that's going to mesh with Carter and Catanzaro's babyface style, I'm not really sure. But I'm struggling to pick a winner. I think there's arguments, pros and cons for both teams here, if only because Tatum Paxley is a complete... an X factor. It could go, she could be, like, it's NXT 2.0. You assume the worst, unfortunately, of a debutante because we've been given too much evidence of these guys being rushed to television. But what if she rules?
Yeah, this is it, isn't it? Who knows? Like, I think Ivy Nile came on TV and immediately popped off the screen, regardless of what she can do in the ring or whatever. She fits that stable like a glove. She has. Like I described Ron Breaker earlier, she has the Steiner energy as well when she's doing the crunches and stuff while holding an opponent in a submission. It's great stuff. Like, it's good work.
And Catanzaro's got the body to be bent in half for that kind of spot.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she'll let herself get tied up like a pretzel because pretzels are things that you tie, apparently. I could see this most likely ending in Tatum mashed potatoes. Pax potatoes. Who's Pax
potatoes?
Jeremy Paxman. I can see the host of Newsnight taking the fall here for sure, and the other two going on. I mean, if you want to avoid this tournament becoming a complete disaster, you might as well put one of the other working tag teams through the process, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. I expect Caden Carter and Casey Catanzaro to rise to the University Challenge. That's all our Dusty Cup stuff wrapped up. So let me talk to you about LA Knight. He has finally dealt with the restraining order. He has finally dealt with Sanger, Grayson Waller's new heater, by beating him on night one. And we are down to the match itself. The Grayson Waller experiment, he was... Given the writing off of Johnny Gargano as a big heat thing, he was given AJ Styles as a guy that from the main roster that he pissed off enough to have to come down to NXT to fight him. But he's not really picking up many W's along the way. He lost to AJ Styles. The Gargano thing, obviously, understandably, didn't really lead to much in particular. LA Knight has kind of had Waller's number throughout. It sort of feels like this is all teeing up for Waller to get the win. But is this going to feel a little bit pyrrhic? And what's your sort of take on the prospective quality of this?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with it as well. I think I like the idea of Grayson Waller as this loudmouth, flashy bell end with the loud shirts and the avoidance style. And he's got a heater with him and like it's classic pro wrestling stuff. And he clearly has some degree of charisma. He's a pretty good talker. He has pretty good presence and he's a pretty good wrestler, but that's the assessment that springs to mind as soon as I think of him so far. It's pretty good rather than at the moment, I don't look at him and think that guy is going to be a mega star in 2 or 3 years. And it's kind of a shame, but it's kind of how this process works. Look, he's clearly further along than the majority of the people on this show. Like, he doesn't need anywhere near as much developing as other people. But I don't feel like they're developing a headlining star here. I think they're developing someone who's pretty good, pretty good. The booking doesn't help. I think defeating Sanga in his first match pretty much in like 3 minutes, it's like, what the hell?
Yeah,
I mean, you can certainly tell that Vince and Bruce have their hand in this now, just as much as you can tell from the sexualization of the woman that Johnny Ace has his hand in this product these days. But yeah, no, man, like LA Knight's a meme.
Yeah,
he's a really good talker, but he's, But he's also just kind of doing a rock Steve Austin kind of tribute act at the same time with his own catchphrases. Yeah. He calibrates his every line of dialogue to somehow squeeze a catchphrase in there. And it's so much fun. I love having him on TV because you just sit there and go, there's the let me talk to you. And that is a fact of life. All of that stuff. It's funny. And he looks great on TV, obviously. Mm-hmm. Good looking guy. Quality ceiling, I don't think it's that high, but I think this will be fine. I think it'll be simple, but not necessarily a springboard for Grayson Waller, which the AJ program could have been. But again, that match underwhelmed as well. It was good, where maybe you'd expect from a guy like AJ being in there, it'd be great. Maybe Grayson Waller's just not the prospect that WWE thinks he is.
That's it. For the time it feels, it's probably only 4 or 5 weeks, but for the time it feels like it's been inserted into this Knight and Waller feud specifically, it feels like there should be more heat around this. I do wonder, with a guy like LA Knight, with them, and we're going to talk about Dolph Ziggler next, but with Dolph Ziggler being on this show tonight, and let's just say because there's a main roster infusion, Vince McMahon is forced to watch from that monitor that was installed in his office by Triple H in 2014 that he never ever switched on until 2.0 started in 2021. I wonder if he's forced to have a look tonight because Dolph's on. He sees LA Knight and just gets him confused, thinking, oh, I can't wait to get him back on Raw. And Dolph is just left there forever and he just takes LA Knight back instead. Because, yeah, he radiates the certain qualities for significant, like, WWE superstardom, I think, LA Knight.
Yeah.
I think probably the nicest way I can put it. But there's not a load of time. He hasn't been brought in as a sprightly, I'm not age-shaming him either, but he's not been brought in as a, like, a sprightly 20-year-old that's got sort of 5 or 6 years to develop in here before giving Raw a try. He's pretty much, is he as good as he's going to get? I don't know, but he's good enough for the WWE system to probably just have him doing other things on Raw or SmackDown. So, if anything, if Grayson Waller was to take LA Knight as a bit of a scalp, I'd like to think they'd consider just taking a bit of a post-WrestleMania gamble on LA Knight's call-up.
Yeah, you might as well, man. Like, I'm going to Google it, actually, because I should know this off the top of my head.
Let's take a point on 37.
So he's 39, and okay, he's 40 this year. So, yeah, no spring chicken. A good guy probably to have around younger wrestlers, because he is a very good talker in that, you know, he obviously wears his influences on his sleeve, but he's a good talker. And you'd hope that he could impart some of that onto younger wrestlers, help them work on their own promos and stuff. But at the same time, did you bring him in to do that? How much money are you paying him to do that? How much is it worth? I would just throw him on the main roster. I think he's got a great physique. He's got presence. He's got charisma. He's got character. I think if you put him on TV, people would not have a great deal of difficulty catching on to him. We've said this before about a certain EC3, we should say, who is a near identical situation, except maybe not quite as catchy with the catchphrases and stuff. But yeah, we've been here before, and there's no such thing as a sure thing on the main roster. But I agree, they might as well roll the dice. They might as well roll the dice. Maybe it doesn't work and he has to go back down to NXT, but Knight's role has always confused me a little bit, because I don't think he's like an adept enough in-ring wrestler to improve the people he's working. He's fine, but he's not like this savant. He's not Cesaro, for God's sake.
No.
Or AJ Styles, who was down here recently. He's not even Dolph Ziggler. No. I don't really see what benefit he has from grinding out matches with these folks. Yeah, man, throw him up. Why not? I'm sure he'll do fine. He can't do worse than EC3 did, right?
I don't think so. I love, by the way, that you just used the phrase, not even Dolph Ziggler. So speaking of the worst of that, so let's get to the man himself. The show off is on NXT 2.0 tonight, obviously, to conclude hostilities with Tommaso Ciampa. They've that kind of kicked off in earnest a couple of weeks ago when Dolph Ziggler just came to NXT to seemingly to rabble-rouse with Bron Breakker, with the very heart and soul of NXT and the belt and all the rest of it. That overlapped into the Bron Breakker title defense last week and indeed onto Monday Night Raw, where Tommaso Ciampa and Finn Balor teamed up to beat the Dirty Dogs. Am I that wild to assume that this is only going one way and that's a Ziggler win leading us to Ziggler versus Breakker at Stand and Deliver?
Oh, God, that doesn't sound great, does it? The way this program has gone.
It's like, I'm struggling to see another outcome.
The talking about the heart and soul of NXT and stuff, it's just, we're only like, 5 months into this rebrand, and it's already played out because they've leaned on it so heavily since day one. Yeah. So when a guy starts spitting stuff like that, I just immediately disconnect from it because it was like, what are you on about, mate? You weren't even really here. You weren't, you're Dolph Ziggler, you've been on the main roster for 20 million years. What are you talking about, brother?
Cedric pointed out when Ciampa before War Games came out and it was like, hey guys, you ready for War Games? And this is the same Tommaso Ciampa that like 6 months ago was like, I'm sick of people coming on NXT and not making it super serious.
Yeah.
Suddenly got to be whatever NXT morphs into, paintball and all.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, man, this program hasn't hit. And the core idea of it is good. Dolph Ziggler comes down and starts messing with people in NXT. Like at this stage in his career, realistically, Dolph Ziggler should be one of these guys who's in NXT and working with the young guys because, like, take off your maybe. I think the bandwagon for support for him as a top level guy has waned certainly over the past few years. But even removed from that, WWE are never going to push him as a top level. They're never going to push him beyond what he currently is at the moment, right? No, whether they should or shouldn't is immaterial. They're just not going to do it. So why not use him in a complimentary role down here while he still has a bit of stock and still has a bit of star power? And he's a good wrestler. I don't think he's gotten worse in the ring or anything like that. I still think he's performing at the same level. He just doesn't have many opportunities to do so these days. It's a good role for him, but this hasn't really clicked on any level. I don't think it feels artificial. Like old guy comes down the herd and sort of it, all this rubbish. And then you get into this situation here where he's facing Tommaso Ciampa, and Ciampa on Raw just felt like just a guy who got a lucky roll up pin over Robert Roode. The idea, the first stage of this idea is good. The execution has been poor. If he is to beat Tommaso Ciampa, okay, sure, whatever. Maybe he's headlining against Dolph Ziggler. I mean, they probably feel like they need a name like Ziggler on top to try and sell out that ridiculously huge building they've built for the mini, whatever we're calling the NXT premium live event these days. Mm-hmm. He's a good guy for Breakker to learn from, for sure. It's just not all that exciting, is it?
It's the strangest thing because, as you say, that the ambitious booking of is it the American Airlines for Stand and Deliver?
I
haven't got it in front of me, but it's a normal wrestling venue basically. And the prospect of this current iteration of NXT drawing anybody other than those Orlando hardcores is a tough old sell. So I understand the rationale of bringing somebody from the main roster in, and not just airlifting them in. It's gonna if we get to Ziggler Breakker, it's gonna feel organic to a point because we've had this run-up, we've had this series of exchanges between the two, and Tommaso Ciampa's made his way over to Raw, and it's perhaps good exposure if nothing else for Breakker to be rubbing shoulders with bigger names at such a young point in his career. But even then, is Ziggler, I don't mean to be cruel to Dolph Ziggler, but is he even a ticket selling pro wrestler of that standing at this point? If they want to bring somebody down from the main roster to sell tickets for a Bron Breakker match, I'm going intentionally big and stupid here on purpose, right? But if you honestly want to draw somebody that people think, wow, I actually have to buy a ticket to go and look at that, it's got to be somebody like a Goldberg, hasn't it? Or somebody with such insane appeal. Like Goldberg, another part-timer name, a returning star, the fucking Boond. Like just somebody that people have no choice but to think, if it was on telly, you would have to stop what you were doing and look at it. If you're in Dallas, think, sod it, I'm going to buy a ticket for this. There's all this wrestling, but I'm going to choose that to go and watch. With the greatest respects to the match that Ziggler could give Breakker and the learning that Breakker could get in the dark arts that we as fans don't necessarily see, in terms of, like, pulling in the punters, is Ziggler even really that guy?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think they see him as that guy, potentially, because he's a level of star above the average NXT wrestler, but he's not a star. He's not a star because WWE have booked him into the ground for 10 years, right? Like, people have been conditioned to accept this dude as just a middling guy who turns up. It's to the point now where, you know, when he gets the occasional world title feud for a month, people roll their eyes and go, oh God, Ziggler. Like, he's not someone who's necessarily going to make a difference. I think they probably perceive him as that. But I think, like, I always say this, but like, if you're going to go in on something and an idea in wrestling, I think you kind of have to go all in. So earlier today on the Raw review, we spoke about when Cody comes in, it's got to be huge. You can't have him feud with some mid-card guy and like get his feet wet. It's like, no, because you've cooled him off immediately. Mm-hmm. You can't have Tommaso Ciampa going to his match with Dolph Ziggler, winning via roll-up against his tag team partner, because it's weak. You've done about 30% of what you can. And it would be the same with Ziggler. If you want to give Bron Breakker a main roster scalp, I think he has to beat a Seth Rollins or someone like that.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not Seth, because he'll have WrestleMania programs going on. But if you have someone on that roster who doesn't have a program going on, and you can slot them down there, hell, God, I mean, he's just had a WrestleMania match booked, but Rey Mysterio would have been a good shout. Maybe even Finn Balor, because he'll have stock as a former NXT champion. But I don't know, man. It's like, no disrespect to Ziggler, right? Because I think he's very skilled, and I think he should have enjoyed more success over his career. And it's not his fault, it's the Booker's fault. But I also think he's very content with where he is in WWE. I don't think he cares. I think he's kind of happy, just making towns with his mates, having fun, not having to kill himself for the pressure of crazy. Oh,
and more power to him, yeah. Totally.
Yeah, he's cracked the code. He's cracked the code in WWE. I completely agree. In a roundabout way, I completely agree. I think that our perception of him is probably just a little bit different to the people who are engineering him into this spot.
Do we think, we both agreed, it's probably Ziggler for the win tonight?
Yeah, for sure.
There we go. Well, that's our NXT 2.0 preview locked off for the day. Andy Murray, if they want more of your hot Dolph Ziggler, piping hot Dolph Ziggler takes, where can they find you on Twitter?
Nobody's had a piping hot Dolph Ziggler take since 2014, but you can find me on Twitter at Andy H. Murray. The H stands for Hiroki Sumi.
I'm at Michael Hamflett. That's where all the Tatum Paxley haters can go.
Tatum Paxley.
We're all at What Culture WWE. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. You can get all the previews, reviews, etc. on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you choose to subscribe. Keep us at number one in the charts by sending us 5-star reviews. The 5-star review will be back next week.
You won't
week.
Keep it at number one in the charts with me on the podcast, brother. That's good. We're going to be in the low 30s by the end of the day.
Nah, man, it's all good. We'll keep getting the reviews and fooling the algorithm. It's all grand. Yes, we'll be back tomorrow with all this usual gubbins. We'll see you soon.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.